Welcome back for another deep dive. The Spiritual Sikh just dropped another one of their mini quizzes, and this time it's all about ancient American civilizations.
Ooh, fun!
So we're talking Maya, Inca, Aztec, you know, all the classics. Think you can ace it? I think our listeners can.
Let's find out. I'm always curious to see what kind of questions they come up with. It's such a rich topic, you know? I mean, the Maya with their hieroglyphics, the Inca and their whole reverence for Pachamama, the Aztecs building Tenochtitlan on a lake. It's just amazing.
Right. Okay, so first question. What was the name of the Inca Empire? And it's not as straightforward as you might think.
Yeah, a lot of people just say Inca, but the official name was actually Tawantinsuyu.
Tawantinsuyu.
Mm-hmm. It means like the four regions or sometimes the four parts together.
The four parts together. So what does that tell us about how the Inca viewed their territory?
Well, it shows that they weren't just thinking about conquest, you know. They saw their empire as this unified whole, but made up of distinct regions, each with its own, well, identity and importance.
It's about integration, not just brute force.
Exactly. That idea of bringing diverse peoples and landscapes under a single, well-structured rule, it's all reflected in that name, Tawantinsuyu. They literally divided their territory, like the Andes, into four suyus, which were these regions, each with its own governor and administrative center.
And to keep it all connected, did they have, like, an ancient Inca internet or something?
Haha, not quite. But they did have something pretty close. The Inca were master road builders. We're talking a vast network of roads and bridges, over 25,000 miles of it.
25,000 miles?
Yeah. Crisscrossing the entire empire. They could move armies, messengers, goods, you name it, super efficiently throughout their territory.
So 25,000 miles?
Yeah.
Like what, walking from New York to LA and back and then doing it again?
It's incredible. Can you imagine trying to build that today with all our modern technology? It'd be a huge undertaking.
Right. And the Inca did it all without like wheeled vehicles or pack animals, right?
Mm-hmm. Human labor, simple tools, and an incredible grasp of engineering.
That's just mind-blowing. All right, question number two. Sticking with the Inca, which Inca deity is the Earth Mother, symbolizing fertility, agriculture, that sort of thing? Any guesses out there, listeners?
I think most people will know this one. The answer is Pachamama.
Pachama, yeah. That's a name that's kind of made its way into broader culture, hasn't it? It's more than just a historical figure at this point, right?
Oh, absolutely. Especially in the Andean region, Pachamama is still very much alive. Many indigenous communities continue to honor her today.
So for those who maybe haven't heard of Pachamama, what does she represent? And why was she so important to the Inca specifically?
Well, she represents the essence of Mother Earth, right?
Mm.
Fertility, abundance, provider of crops, protector of nature. You can see why she'd be so important to a civilization like the Inca, who relied so heavily on agriculture.
It's almost like with the environmental movements we see today, all the focus on sustainability and climate change.
Yeah.
It's like the Inca were ahead of their time in recognizing that interconnectedness between nature and human life.
100%. They understood that we depend on a healthy planet. It's not just a nice idea, it's essential for survival.
All right, enough philosophizing for now. Let's hit question three. Which civilization is famous for that super sophisticated writing system we call hieroglyphics? Used to record their history, their mythology, daily life, the whole shebang.
That's got to be the Maya. They were obsessed with recording everything. Like, ultimate record keepers wanted to make sure they passed down their knowledge.
So we're talking about those intricate symbols, kind of like Egyptian hieroglyphs.
Similar concept, but with a distinctly Maya style. It's not just simple pictures, though. They had logograms that represented whole words or ideas, and then these syllabic elements representing sounds. It's a complex system, like a giant puzzle, where each piece has a very specific meaning, and sometimes even multiple meanings, depending on context.
Wow. It's hard enough for me to keep my email inbox organized. I can't imagine creating and maintaining a whole writing system like that. What kind of things did they record with these hieroglyphs? What were they so concerned about preserving for the future?
Everything. And I mean everything. Historical events, wars, alliances, kings, and their lineages, but also religious beliefs, rituals, observations of the stars, their calendar systems, agriculture, trade networks, even personal stories and emotions sometimes.
It's like we have access to their diaries. Mm. You know, we can get this incredibly personal glimpse into a civilization that existed centuries ago.
It's really remarkable. And the fact that scholars have been able to decipher so much of it is incredible, too. It shows the power of human curiosity and persistence.
All right, on to question four. And we're still with the Maya. What is the name of their 260-day ritual calendar? And this is not the one people might be thinking of, the one with the long count and all the end of the world stuff.
Right, you're thinking of my long count calendar. This question is about the Sulcan, totally separate system.
Sulcan. Okay, I'll be honest, I'm not as familiar with that one.
Yeah.
What was it used for?
The Sulcan was all about religious practice and divination. It was sacred. They used it to figure out the best dates for ceremonies, rituals, even planting crops. They believed each day has specific energies that could influence how things turned out.
So, like their version of astrology.
Yeah.
Checking the Sulcan before you make a big decision.
Pretty much. Aligning your actions with the energy of each day was key to success and harmony, according to the Maya. Can you imagine planning a wedding or starting a war based on what your calendar told you?
That's a level of planning I haven't quite reached. But I do love the idea of being in tune with a larger cosmic rhythm.
Okay, moving on to question 5. Switching gears to the Aztecs now. Which civilization had its capital city, Tenochtitlan, on an island in Lake Texcoco, complete with a mind-blowing system of canals and aqueducts? This one might be a little easier for folks.
It's the Aztecs. Tenochtitlan was their grand capital. Talk about adapting to a challenging environment. Can you imagine building a bustling city on an island in the middle of a lake? I've seen pictures of Tenochtitlan, and it honestly looks unreal. How did they even do that? It seems impossible.
It's an amazing feat of urban planning. They had canals for transportation and irrigation, of course, but they also had these chinampas, or floating gardens.
Floating gardens. What in the world?
Sarah, they built these artificial islands by layering soil and vegetation onto rafts. Then they'd anchor those rafts to the lake bed. It was a way to expand their farmable land.
That is so clever.
Yeah.
Talk about making the most of your resources. It makes you wonder what those folks would think of our modern cities.
Right. We might have fancy technology, but the Aztecs were masters at working with nature, not against it.
And they had such a deep understanding of how to make it all work together sustainably. Okay, last question for this round. This one's about Aztec mythology. Which Aztec deity, known as the Feathered Serpent, represented wind, learning, creation, basically civilization itself?
The one and only Quetzalcoatl.
Quetzalcoatl, yes. I feel like everyone's heard that name, but I have to admit, I don't know much about the story. Fill us in.
Well, get comfy, because it's more than just a simple wind god story. Quetzalcoatl embodies so many ideas that were central to Aztec culture. In some versions of their creation myth, he's even the one who creates humanity.
Whoa, so he's like top-tier god status then.
Exactly, and that's just the start. Wind, knowledge, the arts, culture, civilization. It's like he's the force behind everything they valued.
He sounds like the ultimate wise and benevolent leader. Did the Aztecs ever have a ruler who was like, I'm Quetzalcoatl, bow down?
Funny you should ask that. There are accounts of a ruler named Tepiltzin Quetzalcoatl who was known for being peaceful and focused on the arts and knowledge. Whether he actually existed or if it's just legend, nobody's really sure. But for a ruler to take on that name, that says something.
Yeah, that's a powerful statement. It's like the lines between myth and history get all blurry, which makes it even more intriguing.
Absolutely. And that's something we see a lot in ancient cultures, right? But it's especially interesting with Quetzalcoatl. How much did the myth shape reality? How much did reality shape the myth?
Ooh, good question. All right, we've covered a lot with Quetzalcoatl, but there's one more thing. You mentioned his story isn't just an Aztec thing. What did you mean?
Well, this is what I find so fascinating. We see versions of the Feathered Serpent all over Mesoamerica going way back, even before the Aztecs came along.
Really?
It suggests a shared history, this common thread of belief that connected these different civilizations. They weren't isolated, you know? They were interacting, sharing ideas, influencing each other.
It's like trying to piece together this giant cultural puzzle, and each civilization has a piece.
And by studying all those different versions of the myth, we can learn so much about those connections.
I officially need to add Mesoamerican Feathered Serpent myths to my reading list. But right. For now, let's bring our listeners back to the quiz itself and recap what we've learned.
Sounds good. It's always helpful to sum it all up.
So, question 1.
Yeah.
What was the name of the Inca Empire? The answer, of course, is Tahuantinsuyu, which means the four regions. And it highlights how they integrated those diverse territories under one rule.
Question 2. Which Inca deity is the Earth Mother? That's Pachamama, the embodiment of fertility, agriculture, nature. And it's interesting to think about how her relevance is, if anything, even more pronounced today.
Question 3. Which civilization is known for hieroglyphics? Gotta be the Maya. That complex writing system has given us such an amazing window into their lives.
And question 4. What was that 260-day ritual calendar the Maya used? The Tzolk'in. So connected to their spiritual beliefs.
Question 5. Which civilization built Tenochtitlan, the Aztecs, of course. And that city is a testament to their incredible urban planning and engineering skills.
And lastly, question 6. Which Aztec deity is the feathered serpent? That would be the one, the only, Quetzalcoatl.
Phew. 6 questions, but we sure covered a lot of ground. Hopefully our deep dive helped bring those answers to life for everyone.
That's what we try to do. Go beyond just memorizing facts and really appreciate the depth and meaning behind these cultures.
Speaking of depth and meaning, you've spent a lot of time with these civilizations. What are some of the bigger themes or connections you've noticed? Things that maybe go beyond a simple quiz question.
Well, what always strikes me is how much these civilizations, even though they were separated by time and geography, we're all wrestling with those big universal questions.
Yeah.
You know, what's our place in the cosmos? What's the nature of knowledge, of power? How do we create a society that's just and prosperous? How do we live in harmony with nature?
Those are questions that are still incredibly relevant today, aren't they?
100%. And I think there's so much we can learn from studying how the Maya, Inca, and Aztec approach them, their successes and failures, their beliefs. It gives us a different perspective on some of the most pressing issues we face in the 21st century.
I completely agree. It's like they're offering us this ancient wisdom that we can apply to our modern lives. So, to our listeners out there, we'll leave you with this thought. As you continue learning and exploring, keep in mind the things we've talked about today. That reverence for nature, the importance of community, the pursuit of knowledge, and the importance of balance.
These are timeless themes. And maybe, just maybe, by studying these cultures, we can find some guidance and inspiration as we navigate the complexities of our own world.
And that's a wrap on part one of our deep dive into the Spiritual Sikhs mini quiz on Maya, Inca, and Aztec civilizations.
Welcome back to our deep dive into those fascinating ancient American civilizations.
We've been tackling the Spiritual Sikhs' latest mini quiz.
And some of these questions are pretty tricky.
They really make you think. Before the break, we were just starting to unpack the story of Quetzalcoatl, that feathered serpent deity of the Aztecs.
He's such a fascinating figure, and his story, it's more than just a myth.
Right. It reflects this whole complex web of ideas and beliefs that were so important to the Aztecs. You mentioned earlier that he's even credited with creating humanity in some versions of their creation myth.
Oh, yeah. In some versions, he's the one who brings humans into existence.
That's a pretty big deal.
Talk about power, right? To bring humans into being. That instantly elevates Quetzalcoatl to this whole other level of importance.
What else can you tell us about his role in Aztec mythology? What were some of his other key characteristics or attributes, you know, aside from being a creator god?
Well, he's also associated with wind, of course.
Right, a feathered serpent.
But also knowledge, the arts, culture, even civilization itself.
So he's not just one thing.
No.
He's like this multifaceted symbol of like all the things that made their civilization great.
Exactly. And that's part of what makes him so captivating. He represents both the physical world, like the wind and nature and creation, but also these intellectual and spiritual realms.
He seems to embody this ideal of a wise and benevolent leader, you know, someone who guides people toward knowledge and enlightenment.
Definitely. And it's interesting, you know, there are actually accounts of an Aztec ruler named Tepiltzin Quetzalcoatl.
Oh, wow.
Who was known for his peaceful reign and his focus on the arts and knowledge.
So they had a ruler who was literally named after this deity.
It's not entirely clear if he actually existed or if it's more of a legend.
Right, that blurring of myths and history again.
Exactly. But even the fact that a ruler would take on that name, it speaks volumes, you know.
It shows how deeply ingrained this idea of Quetzalcoatl as a wise leader was in their culture.
For sure.
It makes you wonder, you know, how much did the myth influence reality and how much did reality influence the myth? It's like a chicken or the egg kind of thing.
Totally. And that's one of the things that makes studying ancient cultures so fascinating, right? That element of mystery.
Trying to piece together a puzzle where some of the pieces might be missing.
Exactly. You have to use your imagination a little bit.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground with Quetzalcoatl.
He's a big topic.
He is.
Yeah.
But there's one more thing I want to touch on. You mentioned earlier that his mythology isn't just confined to the Aztecs.
Right.
What did you mean by that?
Well, this is what's so interesting. We see variations of the feathered serpent deity in other Mesoamerican cultures going back centuries before the Aztecs even rose to prominence.
So it's not just an Aztec thing.
Not at all. It suggests that there was this shared history, a common thread of belief connecting these seemingly disparate civilizations.
So it's not just that they had similar ideas, it's that they were actually influencing each other, exchanging those ideas.
Right. These cultures weren't isolated. They were interacting and exchanging ideas in ways that we're still trying to understand.
It's like a giant puzzle where each culture holds a piece of the larger story.
And by studying these different versions of the myth, we can gain a deeper understanding of the connections and interactions that shaped Mesoamerica.
So it's not just about Quetzalcoatl, it's about the bigger picture.
Exactly. It's about using one piece of the puzzle to help us see the whole picture more clearly.
Okay, I'm definitely adding Mesoamerican feathered serpent myths to my reading list.
It's a fascinating topic.
But for now, let's bring our listeners back to the quiz and do a quick recap of what we've learned.
Sounds good to me.
First question, what was the name of the Inca Empire? The answer, of course, is Tahuantinsuyu, meaning the four regions.
Highlighting their incredible administrative structure and their ability to integrate all those diverse territories.
Next, which Inca deity is revered as the Earth Mother? That's Pachamama, the embodiment of fertility, agriculture, and nature itself.
And whose enduring relevance really speaks to some of our modern concerns about sustainability and environmentalism.
Then we had, which civilization is known for using hieroglyphics? The Maya, of course. Their complex writing system has given us this incredible window into their history and beliefs.
And what was the name of that 260-day ritual calendar used by the Maya? That would be the Sulcan, a calendar that was deeply embedded in their spiritual beliefs and their understanding of cosmic energy.
Moving on to the Aztecs. Which civilization had Tenochtitlan as its capital city? It's the Aztecs, of course, with their stunning city built on an island in Lake Texcoco, showcasing their engineering genius and their ability to adapt to a challenging environment.
And finally, the big one. Which Aztec deity is the feathered serpent? It's Quetzalcoatl, representing wind, knowledge, creation, and civilization itself.
Wow, that's a lot of information packed into six quiz questions.
We've covered a lot of ground.
But hopefully, our deep dive has helped to bring those answers to life, providing some context and insights that go beyond just memorizing facts.
That's what we're all about. We want our listeners to not only learn new things, but also to appreciate the interconnectedness of history, culture, and spirituality.
Speaking of interconnectedness, what are some of the broader themes or connections that you've noticed while exploring these three civilizations?
What really strikes me is how these civilizations, though separated by time and geography, were all wrestling with some similar fundamental questions. What is our place in the cosmos? What is the nature of knowledge and power? How do we create a society that is both prosperous and just? How do we live in harmony with nature? These are questions that humans have been grappling with for centuries.
And the questions that are still relevant today.
Absolutely. And I think there's so much we can learn from studying how the Maya, the Inca, and the Aztecs approached these questions, their successes, their failures, their beliefs and practices. It offers us a different perspective on some of the issues that we face in the 21st century.
It's like they're offering us a glimpse into a different way of thinking, a different way of being in the world.
Exactly. And maybe by looking at the past, we can find some new insights into the present.
I love that idea. So to our listeners, as we move into the final part of our deep dive, we encourage you to reflect on the things we've discussed today. Think about the enduring relevance of these ancient cultures and how their wisdom and achievements can inform your own life and your understanding of the world around you.
These are timeless themes that continue to resonate today. And maybe by studying these cultures, we can find some inspiration and guidance as we navigate our own complex world.
Welcome back. We're wrapping up our deep dive into the Spiritual Sikhs mini quiz on Maya, Inca, and Aztec civilizations.
We've covered a lot of ground, haven't we? Empires, deities, writing systems, calendars, even floating gardens.
Floating gardens. See, listeners, I told you things would get weird. But in all seriousness, I'm feeling pretty inspired by these cultures, their achievements, and just how relevant their beliefs still are today.
What strikes me is how these civilizations, even though they were separated by so much time and distance, they were all asking the same big questions, like, what's our place in the universe? What's the nature of knowledge and power? How do we live a good life, a balanced life, in harmony with nature?
Those are questions that we're still grappling with today, aren't they? It's like a reminder that we're all part of this larger human story, connected across time by these shared experiences. So as we wrap up, what stood out to you the most in our exploration? What really stuck with you?
Their connection to nature, for sure. The Inca and their reverence for Pachamama, the Maya with their understanding of astronomy and those natural cycles, the Aztecs adapting to that lake environment, it all points to a deep respect for the natural world.
It's like they understood that they were part of something bigger than themselves, that they depended on a healthy ecosystem.
And it makes you think about how we treat nature today. Do we have that same respect?
It's a good question to ask ourselves. What else resonated with you?
Their focus on community and collective responsibility. Think about the Inca's Mita system, that communal labor, or the Maya with their social hierarchy and rituals, or the Aztecs in their tribute system. It's all about understanding that you can't just think about yourself. Your well-being is tied to the well-being of the whole group.
That's a powerful concept, especially in our world, which can be so individualistic.
Right. Maybe we could learn something from these cultures about how to foster a stronger sense of community.
And let's not forget their creativity and intellectual achievements.
Yeah.
The Maya writing system, the Inca architecture, the Aztec mythology. These are all signs of an incredible thirst for knowledge, for pushing boundaries.
They were innovators in their own time, for sure.
So to our listeners, as we wrap up this deep dive into ancient American civilizations, we encourage you to keep exploring.
Think about what resonated with you, what inspired you.
How can you apply some of that ancient wisdom to your own life, to the challenges we face in our modern world?
Keep learning, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into those fascinating corners of history and culture.
Thanks for joining us on this journey.